Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Andrew, what was your take before we get to calls? I'm not used to this. This is stressful. We're live. We got people on hold. This is like the old days. Your take on the follow-up on the Ronda Rousey news yesterday?
My follow-up from tonight, it was just pretty underwhelming. I was hoping there would be more to it than just a video package. I mean, the announcers talked about it a little bit throughout the night, and Stephanie mentioned it briefly, but such a huge story. I was hoping there would just be more to it tonight.
Yes, I agree. I think a lot of people tuned in expecting to see Ronda Rousey, and they ended up not seeing Ronda Rousey, but they had clips and some fallout and some media clipping showing on the screen to make it seem like a big deal. I think it's smart of WWE to not have her show up the next night. I think you want to build up to that. I think if she shows up the next night, not a horrible idea, but I think you end up taking away something that you can build up to, which is she's going to be here next week. And sometimes we're hard on WWE for not for giving big things away and not building it up. And I think to enhance a WrestleMania brand or the Rumble or even a Raw now and then, it's good to have a surprise. But in this case, I like that Asuka got to be the focus. She got to have a big win against Sasha Banks. And they talked about Ronda, but that mystery is there. How is this all going to play out? So ultimately, I think a month from now, this will seem like a wise move, even if some people might be a little upset.
Yeah, I think so, too. The only thing that I think is maybe kind of confusing is the fact that they went out of their way to say she's full time. She's full time. So it made it seem like in my mind, I was kind of actually expecting her tonight. I do like that they hold off on stuff. I mean, they gave away two really big matches tonight that I kind of wish had more buildup. But I can't blame them for that. But I think some people probably, were expecting her due to that news.
So we had other major news on this show. We had the announcement of the Women's Elimination Chamber match, but we had more developments in the Men's Elimination Chamber match, including qualifying matches. Let's talk about the John Cena-Finn Balor match and the story that they told. They weaved throughout the match that John Cena, and Coach was really harping on this, that Cena was letting the Philly fans get to him. Now, that might have just been a storyline of convenience to play it, to explain why the crowd was reacting the way they were to John Cena when he was in a city where he's going to get booed a little more than normal. But it also could have been something else going on. He's like, hey, I just want to get to WrestleMania. Coming out of this show, do you think this was an attempt to do something different with John Cena between now and Mania? Or do you think it was kind of a one-night, one-off thing, and it's just something that they decided to give Coach something to talk about?
My fear is that it is a one-night thing. I mean, as we've seen in the past with John Cena, when he lost to Roman Reigns, they were trying to play it up kind of this end of the era, and he took off his bands. And I think when he lost to AJ Styles, he did the same thing too. So we've kind of been teased a couple times that we're going to shift in a new direction with him, that he's kind of at the end of his road. And tonight they kept teasing that, and he did keep playing into the crowd and looking at them and just looking at them like, guys, I just want to win this match. Like, why are you bothering me? I do really hope they go into a new direction with him because his character over the past year has just, I think, taken a big hit in terms of just he doesn't feel as important as he once did.
And what did Finn Balor losing to Cena do? Did it hurt Finn Balor at all, or was the way the match was presented, Finn Balor almost, worked almost a whole hour the night before, fought Cena, even Steven, for a lot of that match, as slow-paced as it was, and in the end tweaked his knee when Cena moved out of the way, and then ended up taking a big move off the second rope in AA, only because his knee was damaged and he couldn't really seize the opportunity quickly. I'm not sure that Balor lost anything. I don't know that anybody should really be considered having lost something because they lost to John Cena. And I thought he was competitive enough. I didn't think this was a stellar match or a showcase match. But in terms of the story it told from Finn Balor's perspective, Andrew, what do you think?
I think he came out of this looking better. He's had a really interesting past couple months. It wasn't too long ago when he jobbed to Kane cleanly. in about 7 minutes, and they had that incredible showing last night. And I think they're, to me, it's maybe the start of maybe turning him heel or another chapter in whatever is going on with him, why he keeps smiling pretty ridiculously.
Which Coach pointed out, and I'm not sure he was supposed to.
Yeah, it seems there's something at play, and if that's where they're headed, then I don't think that's a bad move. So yeah, I don't think he really lost anything coming out of tonight.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting. And then we had another qualifying match, Braun Strowman destroying Kane, like almost literally destroying Kane. I mean, Braun, I'm never inviting him over. I don't care. I don't care what happens. I'm never inviting Braun. He'll just start knocking stuff over and he'll see. So he saw an announce table sitting on a riser, and the announcers fled and he tipped it over on top of Kane. Kane was crushed, kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West. Was it? I haven't watched Wizard of Oz in a while. Yeah. But we saw Kane's boots under a fallen house from Kansas. And he was taken out on a stretcher, and Braun said it was last man standing. I'm the last man standing. So he qualified for the Elimination Chamber. What did you think of that match and the whole selling of the chaos of Braun afterwards? And also, we'd like to update, Kane did get up in the emergency room and crawl out of the hospital, and they don't know where he is right now. So if you're in the Philly area, look for a demon Kane wandering around the neighborhood, maybe looking for his hotel or an Uber.
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't always do these big rematches the night after pay-per-view, because I want to get over the effect that these matches are so brutal that people can't compete the next night. Say like Sasha Banks, she went 50 minutes and she looked just fine throughout the entire thing. But with that being said, the match was good. I thought it was a cool stunt in terms of what they've been doing lately with him. I like that it was a stunt they didn't have 12 different cameras set up for, so it took you out of the moment.
Yes, good point.
And I also like the fact that it kind of interrupted the show. It made things feel different because the announcers were at ringside looking at a little monitor on the ground. I liked it. It kind of brought you in. It made things interesting for the rest of the show. So I think this is, for me personally, it was near the high end of his destructive moments so far.
All right. We have more to talk about from tonight's show. And we are live right now streaming immediately after Raw. I am Wade Keller. This is the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, not to be confused with the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. I announced this last week on Interview Friday that this show is now split into two separate feeds. We have a blue brand and a red brand. This is the red brand, and this is the post show format now. We're basically blending what I did before moving to Podcast One with the prior show. So we're going to do the same format that we've been doing for 6 months as of last week at Podcast One following Raw and SmackDown. We're going to record a show right after the show ends, and we're going to talk to on-site correspondents, answer email. I'm going to have a co-host, and we'll talk about the show just like before. But we're going to add some of the time live phone calls, and that is what drove the show prior to my move to Podcast One. Podcast One doesn't have the ability to take calls right after Raw or SmackDown, like our new home here, or old home and now new again, Blog Talk Radio does. So we've split off the post shows to its own feed. All you have to do to find it, well, you found us, is search Wade Keller anywhere that you listen to podcasts other than the Podcast One app or website, because these two shows will not be there. The other two shows stay exactly the same. Nothing changes. We've got our Thursday flagship, and we have our Interview Friday. And those will drop at the same time with the same format as always. So all you have to do, both sets of shows are free. You just need two separate feeds now on your app to listen to them. And you found us, so I probably don't need to explain it to you unless you're streaming it and not sure that you can subscribe. So you can. So just search Wade Keller to subscribe to both. Now, Andrew Socek is my guest on today's program, my co-host, I should say. And Andrew is a man of many, wears many hats in the PW Torch family. He is the editor and administrator and executor of Barry Paul Heyman of the PWPodcasts.com website, and we'll talk about that later in the show. He also co-hosts the Thursday night PW Torch livecast with Mike McMahon covering Impact Wrestling, and that's just been a joy, Andrew, for you.
Yeah, we'll say that.
Yeah, they give you a lot to talk about. And also he writes the Impact Wrestling Hits and Misses column for PWTorch.com. So we're going to focus on Raw today, because this is the Raw post-show edition of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post-show. And later in the show, as it progresses, we'll talk more about some of the other ways you can hear and read Andrew's work throughout the week. Now, if you have called the show, thank you for that. We had short notice on this switch and the split of the feed. We only announced it last Friday. Of course, I announced it on pwtorch.com and social media also. If you are on hold and want to participate on the show, please push 1 on your touchtone phone. That will move you into the caller queue instead of the standby zone. So if you're interested in us taking your call on the air, be sure to push 1. We have a 540 just pushed 1. 540, right. You're on the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Wade. This is Michael from Northwest Virginia.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for calling.
I did find it interesting tonight how they didn't seem to be pushing Rhonda as hard as I thought they might.
Yeah, we talked about her not being on the show. And I made the case that I think it's maybe a good thing to save that and build it up and try to pop a huge rating. I think they're going to get a rating anyway, just for what happened last night and all the buzz. But what made you think they weren't pushing her that hard? We had a video package. We had even Corey Graves used a language, most importantly. And he wasn't talking about Asuka's win or the first ever Women's Rumble. When he said that, he was referring to Ronda Rousey showing up after the match was over. I thought they paid pretty good lip service to it being a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. They did give it a lot of talking time. But a lot of times when WWE gets a nice, shiny toy like this, they like to trot it out there like the new golden pony. And I'm surprised she didn't even necessarily make an appearance backstage or a pre-tape or something like that. Something where they would want to call some more buzz. And it seems like maybe they're going to do, maybe playing it smarter. That I noticed, I think you all said something like weren't sure how the crowd of Philly would necessarily react to her. And definitely going to play it smart as they work towards some big plans for her, I guess.
Well, we ran a poll on pwtorch.com asking people how they felt about Ronda Rousey, and I really didn't know what the response would be, but I asked, are you very excited, taking a wait-and-see attitude, negative or very negative, or I even offered no opinion. And the most popular vote-getter is excited, 35%, so just over one-third, said I'm optimistic this will be a lot of fun. Now, it's pretty split otherwise, though. 26% said wait and see. I'm nervous about how she'll fit in. That was the option they chose. Then it was tied for 13% for very excited and negative. 13% said this is a can't go wrong signing, but also 13% said this smells like a celebrity stunt. Only 11% said very negative. She lost her luster in her last two UFC fights, and only 2% said they had no opinion. Over 400 votes are in. You can go add your vote to this poll at pwtorch.com. Andrew, do the results of that poll surprise you at all?
Not too much. A couple of years ago, it would have been much bigger. I mean, in my mind, she has lost a bit of her luster. She's someone you almost feel bad about at times just due to how much those losses affected her. So I think it is she's not just this amazing, athletic, crazy figure anymore. There's more dimensions to her, and not all of them are great for wrestling, maybe. So I think it's definitely interesting. I'm more excited than not. But I can definitely see a lot of different opinions on that.
Michael, what's your opinion on Ronda Rousey? Like, what was your opinion of her before she tied with WWE? And are you among those excited about this or taking a wait-and-see attitude or even negative?
Well, I followed her MMA career. And after seeing her interaction with Manny a couple of years ago, I was very excited for it at that time. I feel like they, they needed to work the deal smartly. And now that they have her, I did participate in your poll, and I'm optimistic to see how it works out. And I kind of think she's one of those people that if she could go out there with just some bullet points and talk and be herself, she will do much better than the scripted nature of WWE. You could kind of see last night when they told her what they wanted her to do, and they sent her out there, and how almost, I think you all might have even mentioned it in your post game, how robotically she got into the stance of the point to the WrestleMania sign. And then, I mean, she did that a couple times, almost like, okay, I have to get in this stance and point this direction and fall in line. And And then otherwise, when she stepped away from that, you know, she kind of was just absorbing it and taking it all in. But I kind of think that's a lot of the appeal to her. If she can harness what, I guess, the entertainment aspect of WWE, I think she could be gold. A friend of mine was saying he felt like she absolutely should have been number 30 in the Rumble, and I totally disagreed. I feel like, you know, that's one that you want to hold off and use at the right moment, and it would almost have taken away from the women's Rumble to have a non-competitor.
Yeah,
and for the first time, she would win.
Yeah, I think having her commit at number 32 is like is groan-inducing in the way that Ty Dillinger being number 10 2 years in a row would be, but on a much more serious level. And I think it would look like she was the privileged celebrity who got to cheat to get the best spot, and it was orchestrated to create the best pop. And I think it would have diminished her, like to win a match by having, oh, what are the odds of her getting number 30? That would have been a distraction, and you're giving away her first action inside the ring. I think there's going to be big curiosity and money to be made. WWE, love the rumors. I think that, you know, Ronda going out there and saying, oh, I'm going to be I'm filming a movie on an island somewhere this weekend. I can't be there. Just fed the rumors. Like, people are like, yeah, right. And so I think they got something out of her being at the Rumble unadvertised, but I think they would have given up something that is a big money moment, which is it's like Brock the first time that you know, he fought in UFC. I mean, you want to build it up, build anticipation, and then boom, the fight is on, and you're like, what's going to happen? And I think that's how pro wrestling fans, WWE fans, are going to feel about Ronda the first time. So that's my take. Andrew, real quick, thumbs up or thumbs down on the way that WWE handled it, not having her wrestle the first time?
Yeah, thumbs up on that. Thumbs down with how it all played out with her pointing at the sign five or six times. So
and making sure she was aware of where the hard camera was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah, that's just what do you call it? The toeing the line with WWE and how they line up at the water fountain. And
exactly.
She went out and she will get. I think she'll find her lane eventually.
Yeah. All right. Well, Michael, I appreciate you being the first caller here on the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, where we're going to take calls sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. You bet. Andrew, the Roman Reigns rematch with The Miz. I want to cover that. Reigns invoked his rematch clause, has a competitive match with Miz. The Philly fans, very negative on Reigns at the beginning. They go 18 minutes. I think they have a really good match. Mm-hmm. Somehow Reigns has good matches and only does four moves, but he did it again. Credit to him, I guess. It's a little bit of a backhanded compliment. But the crowd ended up not rejecting the match, but popping for the near falls. What did you think of that? And also the tainted way that Miz retained the championship, thanks to Miztourage just being relentless in their interference.
Yeah, I was really surprised that the crowd came around to him at the end. I mean, they just tore him apart a couple of years ago at the Royal Rumble. I mean, these past couple months have been really good for his career. I would have never guessed he would even get part of the crowd to like him. And yeah, they're into it. They're into his matches. And I think credit, a lot of that goes to The Miz and how good he's been, how unlikable he's been in. I think the ending was good, I guess. I almost think Roman is just losing too much though lately. I mean, if he's going to be your top guy, I would have him look stronger headed into WrestleMania instead of continually beating him down. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious with the story that they're going to tell with both Roman and Cena at this point. I know somebody on Twitter is just asking, is Cena going heel? You know, tonight was a possible hint of something along those lines. And then Reigns interacting with the crowd, mostly with the Miztourage and being irritated by them, but there was some crowd interaction too when he wasn't focused on Miz. Again, I don't want to read too much into it because it's just Philly. You know what I mean? Like, it's very possible that that this has more to do with just trying to parlay or co-opt the unique passion of the Philly fans into something that makes for interesting television. And by next week, they're not really, it's not really a big deal to them.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah, as I was kind of saying before, like how they push Cena and how they do some of these major angles, they just forget about stuff all the time. So as much as I am intrigued at the moment, I'm not getting my hopes up too much that there will even be a second chapter to this.
Yeah. Where are you on this? Is like an old favorite topic, but we haven't brought it up lately, about John Cena going heel. Like, what would it work for John Cena to go heel, especially if he was going to be taking on The Undertaker at WrestleMania?
I was just thinking about that tonight, just because I was watching I watched Starrcade 97 the night before. So just unfortunately, just picturing Hulk Hogan, and he didn't turn heel until his 40s. And, you know, Cena's at that age, a couple years younger, I think, than Hogan. But I just don't know if it would have that much of an impact at the moment, just because his character has been kind of flat. And just how the crowd reactions are so weird anyways, with all the top stars. I don't know how well that would get over. I personally, yes, I would take it right now. He's at such a weird point in his career. His heart doesn't fully seem into it at the moment. Sometimes we get matches that he just doesn't look like he wants to be there, which is just, incredible for him at this point.
Yeah.
So I think he does need something to get him motivated, something to give him to do for the next year or two. And yeah, if he was going to fight Undertaker, yeah, I'd say go for it. And just, I mean, his days as the top guy, babyface, seem to be at an end. So he could definitely use something to keep him up there.
Yeah, and I wonder if that would be the point at which fans who boo him would finally get it out of their system and cheer him. And then if that would be used as essentially an experiment for Roman Reigns. Like, well, if this works for Cena, maybe we could do this, you know, at a different time or shortly thereafter with Roman Reigns. Let fans get it out of their system, and then they sort of respect him for going through the process. It's important to remember, Hulk Hogan was getting booed and facing crowd apathy before he turned heel. It wasn't just the outsiders were a hot act and he wanted to glom onto it and take it to new places, brother. He wanted to, you know, he needed a fresh start. You know, the fans were, and with Cena, I don't know that he's facing that issue that Hogan was, but it did create a spark for Hogan that he needed. And for Cena, I mean, again, like his selfie promo saying, well, I want to show people I'm just getting started. It sounds a little phony and empty. I don't think people think he's just getting started. So I wish he didn't make that, you know, overstate it in a way where it just comes across as kind of gimmicky. But he is trying to let people know, I'm not, you know, don't look at me as someone who's winding down his career. So going heel would be a spark that would get people to look at him through a fresh lens. And maybe Cena's kind of bored and thinks the way people look at wrestling today, a heel turn wouldn't hurt him if he did it the right way and told the right story.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. And it would give him something to do. I mean, go back to SummerSlam, and the best they had for him was taking on Baron Corbin in the first match of the show. Maybe right. he realizes he's not quite as relevant as he was a couple of years ago. So he wants to shake things up a bit. And, they also went with that storyline of basically when he couldn't beat Roman Reigns, like basically he no longer had superpowers. It seemed they were heading to down that direction, which they dropped because, yeah, like you said tonight, he was talking about, I'm just getting started. So what is it? Is he just getting started, or is he kind of losing his ability to be in a top match? And maybe now he needs to cheat to win. So that's certainly an angle they could do, too.
Absolutely. No, you're right. If you want to join us on the show, our number is 347-215-8558. If you're streaming us live, give us a call. That's 347-215-8558. We should be here live tomorrow, or for most of you, today, Tuesday, after SmackDown. So if you're downloading this show on demand and you watch SmackDown live, check out the switchboard here at blogtalkradio.com/Wade Keller Podcast. And when you do that, you will be able to stream the show live and also join us with conversation. You don't need to be an on-site correspondent to let your opinion be heard and ask us ours. So we'll be doing this not every show, but we're going to introduce it this week and then go to it when we think it is called for. And a week like this, The day after the Rumble, it seemed like a good time to try to get people's opinions live. So if you're on hold and want to join us, push 1 on your Touchstone phone, and we'll get you before we go to our first break. I do want to get your opinion, Andrew, on the coach replacing Booker T on commentary. I have to admit, I'm kind of sad. Booker was more often than not absolutely horrible. And I like Booker. And he's good in, other things he's done. Color commentary wasn't his thing. And Corey Graves, I thought, was kind of a little mean to him lately. I started feeling a couple times Booker was right and Corey was wrong. Corey misheard him on the Rumble last night. And he was a little hard on him about the Southpaw thing. So I started to feel a little sorry for Booker. And Booker started to, I thought, correct course maybe last week or the last couple weeks, but it's all over. There's no point in it now. Coach is back. How do you feel about Booker being gone, and how do you feel about Coach replacing him in the job that Coach did tonight?
So to me, Coach was almost amazing just because of how bad Booker was to me. I remember Coach being like a 4 out of 10 back in the day, but yeah, tonight he was like at a 9 for me. But yeah, if I could be objective, he was fine. I thought he made a few interesting points when Apollo Crews like did a backflip and he's like, well, why is he wasting his energy doing that? I thought that was pretty good. I will miss, you know, Michael Cole just like breaking down laughing and saying like, but Booker, he just said that 2 minutes ago.
Or you said the opposite 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. But Booker, that sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I loved him back in the day growing up, but yeah, he needs to find something else to do, I would say, that other than commentary.
I did not get your opinion on the Sasha Banks Oscar match. Let's do that, and then we're going to go to our on-site correspondent because I've got to call him now in order to get him on the show on a timely basis because he's waiting for us. So quick on Sasha and Oscar, and then we'll go to our break and come back with our on-site correspondent.
Audibly gasped during that. Okay. I thought I was going to watch the end of a career for a brief moment. During that dive. Otherwise, I thought that maybe this is just me, but I thought that was maybe Sasha's best main roster match so far. She had better ones in NXT, but I thought that was pretty strong overall.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was, again, gasp worthy. Asuka's bump through the ropes would have been something we'd be talking about. That was a hell of a bump. But yeah. Sasha diving through the ropes, if you didn't see it, she dove through the ropes at Asuka. I watched in slow-mo. I still can't figure out what happened. It's like she got an RKO out of nowhere from an invisible Randy Orton. I guess her feet hit the rope and then Asuka kicked her and she almost landed on her head, but then her hip and leg maybe hit the ring apron on the way down. The ref ran over to check on her. It was scary, but it was otherwise it was a really good match. I like Sasha's promo before the match. I like her when she's not acting like, oh, I'm so grateful to be here. It's such a dream to work for WWE. I like the Sasha Banks persona that makes it seem like WWE is fortunate to have her. And I thought we got that version of her finally tonight. Even in losing, I thought that it was a step up for her. But Asuka was badass. I mean, that was a great Asuka performance. And, you know, that's what they got to do. If I don't know what they're going to do with Ronda Rousey. You know, if it's going to be Charlotte or Asuka or otherwise. But eventually, I mean, I think she'll end up facing both of them eventually. I want Asuka to seem like a dream match when it happens. And I think, Matt, performances like this against Sasha do that.
Yeah, Asuka's just next level right now. There's nobody else in the women's division, even a league below her. It's like a couple leagues below that, and you'll start finding like Charlotte, Becky Lynch. Yeah, she's just killing it right now. And it's really exciting to see her get rewarded for that.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to our first break. We'll come back and talk to an on-site correspondent. I'm really eager to hear. I assume it was a beach ball that was a distraction for Finn Balor and John Cena. We'll find out about that, the crowd reaction, compare Roman and Cena. We'll talk about why it seemed like it took a little while for the crowd to get warmed up for Sasha and Asuka and more. Be sure you're checking out my website, pwtorch.com, every single day. That's pwtorch.com every day, including my Monday night and Tuesday night live reports on Raw and SmackDown, my live reports on WWE pay-per-views, news updates throughout the day, editorials, a whole diverse team of writers and contributors, flashback articles, and more. That's pwtorch.com. MMAtorch.com. And if you're an MMA fan, be sure to check out MMAtorch.com, including the latest UFC news, fight card previews, live fight coverage, editorials, and more. PWPodcasts.com is our sister site with written recaps of pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. So when you don't have time to listen or you just want to see what our reviewers thought of a show you just listened to, check out PWPodcasts.com. If you're going to attend a future wrestling event, we'd love to publish results of the show and your experience at the show on our website, pwtorch.com. Send results to pwtorch at pwtorch.com. This includes WWE events and other events, whether it's ROH, New Japan, indie events, and more. Send results to pwtorch at pwtorch.com. If you're attending a future Raw or SmackDown and can be an on-site correspondent for this program, send a note to me at wadekellerpodcast at pwtorch.com. That's Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. And just put the name of the city and the date in the subject line so it can stay organized and get back to you about joining us on the program. And you can share your experience. Also, hashtag WKPWP on Twitter if you want to share a photo of where you listen to this program. And you can also react to the shows with other listeners of this program. That's hashtag WKPWP. All right, we are now joined by Matt Zalucki, our on-site correspondent from Philadelphia. Matt, thanks for taking time to talk to us after Raw tonight.
Hey, absolutely, Wade. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. You're with Andrew Socek, my co-host. I just want to ask, what was the biggest, what event got the biggest reaction on Raw tonight from the crowd? Was it Braun? Was it Roman? Was it Cena? Was it Asuka? What got the crowd most engaged tonight?
It was definitely Braun. I don't know if that was just because it was in the beginning or what, but that, yeah. I mean, that was a cool spot. You know, they didn't kind of drag the match out. It was kind of like right away. And yeah, Braun definitely, it was a pretty awesome reaction.
And how, describe the crowd reactions to Cena and Roman Reigns for being in the building and how they were similar and how they were different.
Sure. Yeah. So with Cena, there was a lot more of the hardcore fan hatred tonight, for sure. They both had the dual let's go, and then the others, they suck. I think Roman's been, get to me today, got a louder let's go Roman chant than a let's go Cena. But I want to say Cena got a bigger Cena sucks than Roman did. But yeah, it was pretty compare and contrast, because you have the, you know, the kids and the women, the pitch of the voices and the let's go for both of them. It's just funny to listen to live, because then you have the much deeper male fans that say they suck. But I want to say Roman got a larger let's go Roman.
And as each of their matches progressed, was there a change in the crowd reaction among those who you think were booing either of them? It seemed like Cena played more into the negative crowd reaction as part of a story of the match. Certainly the announcers turned it into a story. You didn't get to hear yet. But Coach talked about Cena needs to not be distracted by the crowd. I've never seen him let the crowd get under his skin like this. With Roman,
yeah,
it was just, oh, these Philly fans, you know them. And Roman was seemed more occupied with the Miztourage. So, but it seemed like as the Miz match got near the final stages, the crowd was appreciating the match and into the match. And with Cena Balor, it seemed like it was still pro-Balor, anti-Cena more than it was, oh, we're into the match. And part of that might be match quality or the duration. But how do you, what was your experience in the building in that regard?
Absolutely. Same as what, as how it came across to you. I think the Miz Roman match was, you know, on the really good side, whereas Balor and Cena wasn't very good. And Cena at the end, well, not as good as I would have thought, but at the end of the night, probably off air, Cena actually took the mic. And one of the things he said to the crowd was that the crowd really got under his skin tonight for some reason. I was surprised to hear him say that. But you kind of see it in the match. He really did act that way. And there was a lot of start and stops, and unfortunately a beach ball came out in the Cena-Balor match. It was the only time tonight that we saw one. But yeah, the crowd just didn't seem as into it. I think you hit it right on the head, the match quality. The Roman-Miz match was pretty good, really had the crowd drawn in. And by the end of it, there weren't really any boos. And there was actually a This Is Awesome chant. I don't know if that came across on air, but there was a "This Is Awesome." And yeah, I didn't think the crowd was allowed to do that with Roman. So I was surprised to hear that. He deserved it, and you know, he deserved it with the cool spot he had with Nakamura in the Rumble last night with the powerbomb over the picked him up over the rope and powerbombed him. And I said, hey, if anybody else did that, he would have got a "This Is Awesome" chance. So he really made up for it tonight by giving it to him.
Now, did it seem, did it come across to you, your interpretation, this is an angle that they're choosing to do it conveniently in Philadelphia, but Cena's acting like the crowd is getting under his skin. And I would go so far as to say maybe he and Balor decided not to have a tear the house down match, because then you get the, you know, "This Is Awesome" chance. And Cena was that Cena was deliberately going for something that's going to turn into a longer storyline. Did it come across like that, or did it seem, whether it's true or not, did it seem like, nah, Cena was just for some reason being petulant and impatient with the crowd in a legit way?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that last point you made. Because it just, I don't know, just something just didn't click with it. And, you know, Cena did just spend a lot of time playing to the crowd. I didn't really get the feeling that it was part of a bigger angle. It just kind of seemed like a one-off, and it was there to put John Cena in the Elimination Chamber match, and don't know what they're doing with Finn, but just, yeah, I don't know if it was out of spite or not, but it just didn't click at all.
Well, if it was part of a storyline, then they did a good job. Cena did a good job acting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I was very surprised, and the guy, my friend that I came with, we even both said that, you know, for him to admit that the crowd got to him off air too was something we were kind of surprised about.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. I guess we'll see what happens next week, and we'll see if WWE makes a big deal out of it online. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who got the biggest biggest babyface pops of the night? I assume Braun counts. Who else is in that mix, and how do they relate to Braun's pop?
Yeah, Braun got the biggest pop, no doubt, as a babyface. Wasn't really close. I guess Finn Balor would be second, if I had to say, at least his entrance. And then when the match started, it kind of died off a little. But Asuka got a pretty big pop, even though the crowd kind of died out for when the match started. They were pretty pumped for Asuka. But, I mean, really nobody else got a huge babyface pop. Obviously, Roman gets a big reaction, but not necessarily positive. But yeah, I would say Finn Balor and Asuka were the two that.
Why do you think the crowd did not get into Asuka Banks at first? Was there something about the cadence of the show that led to that? Were they, for some reason, predisposed to not be into it? Or were they just not into it because there wasn't a face and a heel to play off of? Like, what was your interpretation of that? It came across on TV.
That's probably true. Because I kind of feel the same way. I like both of them. So wasn't really sure to root for. And with Asuka just winning the Rumble, kind of figured she was going to win the match. So really have a rooting interest in it. I think towards the end, when Sasha got the bank statements in, the crowd picked up a little bit because it maybe seemed like it was possible a fluke win. But I think that may have been part of it. It was kind of knew Asuka wasn't going to lose. Right now, so it was hard to get emotionally invested in it, especially since she's still likable. She hasn't turned heel, even though there maybe seems like she might be on her way there. But as of right now, it was just hard to pick one side to root for.
Was there anyone who was just clearly not over, where the crowd just gave them nothing?
Anybody clearly not over? Not that I can...
I don't mean to prompt an answer if it's not true, you know.
Maybe.
But I was going to say Titus and Apollo during the ring introductions.
That's the tag title match. I was going to say the tag. Yeah, just for the whole tag title match in general. And yeah, Apollo and Titus. If that was one, that would definitely be the one.
How did the crowd react to Elias?
Dana got chanced, but not those guys.
Right. How did the crowd react to Woken Matt and Elias? Because Elias gets a reaction, but it's sort of like, here's this guy who's going to pretend to make fun of us, and we're going to pretend to be upset, and it's fun. Is that the crowd response to him, or was it something different?
Yeah, that was definitely it. And it was honestly more booth tonight for Elias than last night even. Last night he received a lot of cheers at the Rumble, so when, you know, he came out tonight, he was getting a lot more boos than cheers, and I was surprised about that. But it does just kind of seem that way. Like, you know, we know what this guy is. He's just going to come out, and, you know, we kind of like him, but we know his whole thing is going to be to talk negative about the city, and then we get to boo him, and it was kind of fun to boo him. But it was just kind of surprising, compare and contrast last night, because last night he did get a lot of cheers, but it was a lot of boos. And then for Matt Hardy, I mean, the delete chant's over, but the match quality is just, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough for him to sustain it. But yeah, he gets the delete chance.
How about Stephanie? How did the crowd react to her coming up?
Yeah, I was surprised there were a lot more, I don't say nice to Stephanie, but she didn't really get a lot of boos. Didn't get any, you know, CM Punk chants or any other crazy chants directed her way that she normally would. It was sort of tame, to be honest. I don't know if it's because last night she came out and they saw her last night at the Rumble to do commentary, but yeah, she just didn't. It wasn't as her normal, you know, heel reactions that where people have fun booing her. It was just she was there, and I don't know if the crowd we were expecting to see maybe Ronda Rousey, or we were waiting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, the opening segment to me was a little flat. It was, I looked up and it was over, and I was like, oh, well, okay, not what I was expecting, but
yeah,
I think that was part of it.
Andrew, do you have a question for Matt?
Yeah. How did the crowd react to Sasha's face plant during the Asuka match?
Oh yeah. Oof. Yeah, that was bad. And right before it happened, I turned to my friend and I said, please don't do it. And he's like, you know, she's going to do it. And then it was just, and then just didn't look great. And the whole crowd just kind of gasped and didn't know what to take of it, but kind of saw the ref and Asuka both kind of go over to her. So you knew she was all right, but just kind of spent the rest of the match shaking her head and saying, you know, she does so many things well, you know, like the frog splash and the double knees and stuff. Why does she continue to put herself through that with the suicide dive? She never seems to hit it very well. So she's putting herself in unnecessary danger. I don't think anybody, we really want to see any of that.
Yeah, it was scary. What was the crowd size like tonight?
So pretty much every part of the lower bowl was full, maybe 95%. There's some sparse seats left. And then in the upper level, it was a lot of the sections were full. They had maybe one section taped off that they, you know, could have probably sold. And then the rest, obviously, behind the stage, they can't sell. But from what they could sell, one section was taped off. And most sections were full. Maybe a couple of the top rows were empty in a couple of the sections, but maybe 80, 85% of the top full too. So there's a lot of people there.
How much Eagle paraphernalia the last two nights?
Oh, man, way too much.
Why do you say that?
I was happy you weren't here. I'm not from Philly. I'm from upstate New York.
Gotcha.
We drove down to come here, so... not an Eagles fan, but it's been all over the place. It doesn't bother me too much, but there's a lot of jerseys, a lot of Eagles chants throughout the night.
Yeah.
I thought it was unfair, Wade. They showed in the video package, they showed a Vikings player and the crowd booed. And I said, I don't understand why you guys booed, because you guys beat them. I just thought that was a little too far.
Yeah. It still hurts. It's why kick us while we're down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And of course, I got to sit here. All the sports talk shows now haven't moved on, you know, away from football.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, now everybody's on site for Super Bowl hype because the Super Bowl's here. So it's all my Facebook, all my friends, like, oh, I'm at the Super Bowl thing and I'm at this. I'm like, how can you even think about the NFL? Your heart should still be broken. How can you still just go and see Eagles logos everywhere? But people are. I'm not over it yet. Not in denial.
I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I haven't quite reached acceptance yet, I don't think. All right, how about dark matches, either before or after or both?
Oh, yeah. So before, we had Bayley beat Sonya Deville. Paige and Mandy Rose are both out there. This was for main event. Then there's a six-man cruiserweight tag match. I'm going to try to remember because it was kind of the same as it was in the pre-show last night. It was Grand Metalik, Kalisto, Lince Dorado. They beat Aria Davari, Jack Gallagher, and TJP. I think Gran Metalik got the pin over Ari Daivari. I don't know if something like that happened. Gran Metalik looked really good in the match, but it's just another six-man tag match that it's hard to care about.
Did they advertise a match on television to help sell tickets, and if so, did they deliver on it that you know of?
Yeah, they did. So I was here for NXT on Saturday night, and they did advertise Braun Strowman against Kane. I don't remember them advertising a Last Man Standing part. Okay. They did advertise the match. That may have been it, actually, that they advertised for Raw. They advertised some stuff for SmackDown tomorrow. I won't spoil in case, because I don't think they have advertised it on TV. But, yeah, they...
Well, you gave fair warning to people that if they don't want to hear, they can fast forward 30 seconds. What they advertise for SmackDown tomorrow?
Well, they advertised AJ Styles and Kevin Owens for the WWE title with Daniel Bryan, special guest referee.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right, so, and they advertised that on Saturday, and we were just kind of like, why? Like, this kind of, I mean, it didn't ruin anything necessarily, but it was kind of confusing that they would advertise that on Saturday while we were at NXT.
Yeah, because really, people would be thinking it's got to be KO and Sammy defending against AJ.
Right, exactly.
Champions, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I am curious, all three nights, are you exhausted? Do you think you enjoyed Raw less because you went three nights in a row? What was the highlight so far this weekend?
To be fair, Royal Rumble was so long last night that the 3 hour of Raw didn't seem like that long. So I guess that's the trick.
Is that, yeah.
Do 6 hours Sunday and then you'll be fine for 3 hours on Monday. The highlight for me so far, two of them really, I mean, Shinsuke winning the Rumble. I mean, when I decided to come down to the Rumble, that was the hope was, you know, between me and my friends, like, hey, we're going to maybe see Shinsuke win the Rumble. And then the longer that it came to time for the Rumble, we didn't think he was going to win, but we still kind of hoped it. So it actually happened. That was definitely the top moment. And then just being there for the Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano match at TakeOver was just amazing. Amazing wrestling match. Best match I've seen in person.
Yeah.
So just to be a part of that.
Let me ask you this about that before we move. Was the crowd, because I talked about this over the weekend on VIP Audio, was the crowd just wanting to see Gargano win no matter what, start to finish? Or did they end up kind of getting into the match and popping for both guys just because the match was so good at the end? It was sort of like respect, hats off to both Gargano and Almas, and they kind of lost themselves in the action and kind of turned down their desire just to see Gargano win.
So the feeling that I got from that was that they wanted Gargano to win the whole time. And then after the match, they kind of let themselves respect Almas. But definitely during the match, it was huge, at least from what I remember. You know, I was kind of lost in the moment too. But from what I remember, yeah, I mean, that near fall Gargano had, the crowd was ready to blow the roof off. And then, you know, he was really over. Candace got involved. And from the whole time, it just felt like, you know, before the match, I was chanting Johnny Wrestling, even before the match, like before it was even time for the match. And then all the way through, just felt like people really wanted Gargano to win. And maybe they didn't think he had a chance at first, but as the match grew and went longer and the spots happened, it was, you know, he was a clear, the crowd was really rooting for him. But then after the match, they did step back and say, hey, we gotta show respect to CN too. And I think that carried over to last night because he got a good reaction when he came to the Rumble. So.
Actually, let's just go to this. What did you pay for your tickets all three nights? And where did you sit all three nights? And how do you compare the value of each event?
Yeah, so for TakeOver, we sat in a club box seat. So they were a little raised from the 100 section, but it's kind of in between 100 and 200. I mean, that we paid about $80. A ticket for those two per person, and that was nice because it had its own kind of its own bathroom, its own food and drink area, so didn't have to fight a lot of lines and stuff. And then so for the Rumble, we sat right near the stage, so we were about row 8, section 115, so in the lower bowl. right by the stage. So we got to see people as they came out. Spent, it was about $350 for that ticket after all the fees and stuff. And then tonight we sat in section, it was 202. So it was a great dead center off the hard camera side, and paid about $90 for that seat. But we were in row two. So even though we were in the upper level, it was, we were kind of right there. So we had a really good view for that seat. All three very different seats, and probably enjoyed, I would say I enjoyed takeover seating the best. It was the more comfortable seats. But all three of them were really, really good views and pretty close to the rumble yesterday to the ramps. So that was cool. But some people in the section were complaining at the second rumble because we all wanted to stand because we just had to keep standing when the next person was coming out, and people were complaining they wanted to sit. But other than that, the seat was really good.
All right. Andrew, any final questions for Matt?
What kind of reaction did the coach get tonight?
Ah, good question.
Coach received a decent-sized pop. I was surprised. It was all cheers, too. They really didn't get booed. It was very positive, and the crowd definitely responded like they knew who he was, and they were happy to see him. So I was surprised by that.
So
was he good? I haven't watched it yet. Was he good on commentary?
Andrew? I said before, compared to Booker T, he was amazing.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't think he was bad at all, actually.
Yeah, I'd say I'd say he wasn't bad is a good way to put it. I've never been super enthusiastic about what Coach brings in terms of personality, and I'm not quite sure if he knows what his role is yet and what the chemistry is going to be yet. He seems like a guy reacting to what he's seeing, and he doesn't really have a job, and he still seems like a sports guy who's sort of a wrestling fan and trying to prove what a big fan he is. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be hard on him because I think there were some good things tonight. It's going to take a few weeks to fully judge. It didn't jump out. It jumped out as an improvement over Booker, but I have mixed feelings because I started to get kind of addicted to, you know, what's Booker going to do that just makes you wonder what, so I'll miss that a little bit, you know, even though, and it gave me something to talk about, but Coach
for
is an improvement for the product. Are you just exhausted?
Yeah.
I mean, is this, or are you energized? Like, how does just three shows in a row like this, are you like, oh, God, I don't want to think about wrestling for another 2 weeks, or are you just like, I want to go watch Raw on DVR?
I definitely don't want to go watch Raw on DVR. If I was going to watch anything, I may watch, like, the end of the Rumble with the Shinsuke moment again, like, the ones that got me really, like, in the moment, pretty excited. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely good to have, like, the day, like, the full next day to kind of recover and not think about it and see what the follow-up's going to be to what they did last night. I wouldn't say completely wiped out, but I'm going to SmackDown tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to it. I wouldn't have not wanted to go, so.
Yeah, well, this chance that WWE gives fans with four nights in a row, and if you can make it work to go to all four nights, I mean, it's a lot of wrestling, but each show is so different, you know, with the split with NXT and then the big pay-per-view and then two different TV shows with completely separate rosters, at least it does feel every night you're getting something different.
Absolutely, and that's probably why, because, you know, TakeOver and Rumble, TakeOver especially, was so good and short, too, you know, 2.5 hours at that. You kind of power through NXT, you know, it's going to maybe be the best wrestling show of the weekend, and then you get to the Rumble, which is a spectacle, so that was already half of the weekend, and, you know, those two were great. If any of those two dragged, then maybe, by today or tomorrow, I would have been ready to go home, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, they, like you said, it's so different. That was cool. One question for you guys, just about, I don't know how they played it on TV, but in the crowd, it kind of seemed when they did the Ronda Rousey up next, it kind of made it seem like she was going to be coming out. I don't know if the announcers kind of, you know, undersold it, so we knew they were just going to run the video package. But I think some people in the crowd were a little disappointed that thought maybe she was going to come out and cut a promo or something.
I don't remember having the impression, Andrew, that they were indicating she would come out next. Did you get that feeling?
No, I didn't. I mean, when they cut to the video package, they basically just let it be known that they were going to be talking about what happened the night before. So, no, I never got that impression either.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to know how it came across.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, Matt, thanks for taking time to talk to us, and enjoy tomorrow night, and good luck recovering from what will be a unforgettable weekend.
Absolutely, Wade. I appreciate you having me on, and everybody out there that's not VIP, please go try it out at least for 1 month. I know once you start doing it, you won't go back. I'm almost 2 years in, and it's probably the best money I spend every month. So go ahead and sign up right now.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that very much. PWTorch.com. We have our sale going on. You can see the link on PWTorch.com at the top right now. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely, Wade. Take care.
Absolutely. You can support PWTorch.com when you shop Amazon. Just go to PWTorch.com/Amazon. When you're about to shop at Amazon, click the Amazon logo. You're right at Amazon where you're headed anyway, but we get a commission on any purchases you make on that trip. We've had this relationship with Amazon for years now, and we really appreciate those of you who are participating, and we invite all of you to join them. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon when you're about to shop at Amazon. All right, Andrew, let's go to the mailbag. And begin with a question from Jason from Michigan. He says, tonight's Raw was different. Like, they made a half a dozen small changes that shook things up. Coach's chemistry with Corey and Cole was much better than Booker's. And there were several segments that just felt better, if you know what I mean. Was this just a good night? Or do you think they've regrouped and retooled for Mania season? Thanks for your time. Yeah, Andrew, it's the graphics package was fresh. I'm curious if the announcers stay at ringside. If this was not only a way to get Braun over and temporarily kill Kane, but also give the announcers an excuse to move back to ringside if they sort of feel like that's a better place for them. Where the announcers sit doesn't – I don't really have strong feelings about that either way. I thought the graphics were an improvement. They look fresh, and that was good. I didn't really notice a lot else different about the show other than they seem to be in love with this selfie promo thing.
Oof, yeah.
I am not a fan of. In fact, I asked on Twitter, and I have not looked at the results yet, so this is exciting. I'm going to find out the results of my own Twitter poll right here as we're recording. Selfie promos, 33% like them, 41% don't like them, and 26% have no opinion. I like when people vote for something they have no opinion on. I mean, yeah. Like it does help. Like if you know, like just don't care. I mean, that's helpful to the situation. There's a lot of people who just aren't passionate about it. Sure. I'm in the 41%. I don't like them. And it's not a super strong feeling. I can rant about other things, but to me, it seems like they're trying too hard. You know, it's just, it's, you know, there's, you know, people out there, friends, you know, podcast hosts probably, who are like every cool phrase that's being said, you know, they're like doing Google searches to find out what are the cool kids say. Oh, that's what the cool. All right. I'm going to say that because that'll help me with my, you know, demographics and marketing. It's like, it just seems like WWE's trying too hard to show, hey, you're on social media doing selfies. So are our superstars. They're just like you. I'm like, the only reason we do selfies is because we're alone and we aren't famous and we don't have million-dollar camera crews that can film us in an organized way that looks professional. And so, like, it just seems like a step back.
Yeah, I think they're dumb. I think it would work if it was the gimmick of one wrestler. Say if The Miz did all of his promos that way or somebody who called up. But otherwise, it's just another example of everyone looking super corporate because it makes it seem like management held a meeting and said like, all right, well, now you're all going to give promos through your phones. It reminds me of when everyone suddenly got on Tout a few years ago, that brief app that kind of died.
Yes.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder why they would purposefully make things look bad and sound bad. It just doesn't make sense to me.
All right, let's go to our next email. A lot of people emailing about the graphics. Usually that's something I pay attention to, and people are commenting on it. Somebody wants to know, let's see, not somebody, Eric S. says, go VIP. Oh, cool. Hey, Wade, why is WWE's TBA competitor graphic just Cage standing in a shadow? Like today, they announced Braun, Elias, Cena, Cage for Elimination Chamber. I know it's dumb, but I can't not see it. Has anyone else thought of this? I don't. What's he saying, Andrew? Do you get it?
I think it's when they say like six people on the screen and they fill in the people that are in the match and the other ones are shadows.
Yeah.
Instead of, is that's what he's talking about?
Yeah, but he's saying it's just Cage standing in a shadow.
Cage in a shadow.
Well, now
Cage is the cage in the back. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what he means.
Yeah, so let's go to let's see if we can figure this out. WWE.com shows Royal Rumble, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Mixed Match. Come on, there we are. Elimination Challenge or Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I don't see. He's talking about the graphics package on Raw. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, it's just outlines. If I'm looking at the thing he's looking at, so I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. All right. Maybe saying it looks like Christian Cage. I don't know.
Oh, right. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Up next, Mike D in Montreal. Hey, waiting guest, I can't be the only one who finds it strange that Finn comes out alone and not with his fellow club members, Gallows and Anderson. It just feels weird and awkward. It doesn't make them feel like a unit. Why do you think WWE is doing that? Are they worried or scared to completely pull the trigger on the stable, or am I reading too much into this? Thanks for all the great content. Every day, Wade, have a good one. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they each got their own ring entrance. You know, usually factions have a single entrance. I mean, Anderson and Gallows are very different acts than Finn Balor. They are part of the Balor Club, but they're very different, and maybe they just think that Balor's entrance is so him that it would be weird to have those two guys flanking it, but it did jump out as strange to me. I don't have a good answer, Andrew.
I don't either. It seems that they're maybe not sure where they're going with this, or I don't know. I don't think it's going to make sense at any point. It seems like they're not in love with putting these guys together, but they won't put them apart. So yeah, it is strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had a theory other than, yeah, they just want Balor's entrance to be special. And I don't know, maybe they're just trying to fill a little extra time. We'll see. Yeah. More on the graphics. Eric G from Charlotte, a VIP member, says, I wanted to give kudos to the graphics department on the changes they made tonight. That you know, Braun kills Kane, and everyone's emailing about the new graphics. Asuka tears things apart, and Roman Reigns and Miz have a great match, a great TV match, and it's about the graphics. The newer animation and matchup screen look very modern, and I thought it created more of a sports feel. I also wanted to award the sign of the night to the fan. Oh, I agree with this one. The fan who held up the sign, it was green in the second or third row. The big dog has fleas. I certainly enjoyed it, although I wasn't sure if my enjoyment was ironic or sincere. yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that. All right, up next, Lucas from Australia. I'm wondering about a spot in the Royal Rumble in the Triple Threat match when Brock Lesnar punched Braun Strowman in the head. Do you think that, considering the concussion lawsuit against WWE, that they shouldn't be highlighting the fact that Lesnar punched Strowman in the head with considerable force? I enjoyed the hit, but it seemed dumb on their behalf. Cheers. Did they bring that up, Andrew? Sometimes I'm typing and, you know, proofreading when they do video packages, but did they show that or draw attention to it that you remember?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, so that might mean that they thought better of it, I guess is my point. Yeah.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, I don't think that is something I don't think it's something that would come back to haunt them, because you would need Braun Strowman to turn on WWE and say, like, yes, Brock went too far when he punched me in the head.
Yeah.
But it looks like they didn't want to highlight that tonight.
It was amazing. I mean, the slow-mo of Braun's skull just, oh, man. Raymond says, I've been really enjoying the Braun Strowman character and how he's been getting over the last few months with some of his extreme antics. But after tonight's Raw, I realized I'm starting to get over it. It's now getting to a point where Braun matches are nothing but a big spot fest. It's partially because of this reason that I was not interested in the Universal title match at the Rumble. I want to get back to Braun actually wrestling and possibly having a decent match. I get trying to get him over as an indestructible force, but that can be accomplished without him driving someone through a table every match. From the pops Braun continues to get, I get the feeling I'm the only one who feels this way. Well, you know, Todd Martin has pointed out, he thinks that, you know, the crowd's going to eventually, and sooner than later, turn on Braun, because it is kind of a one-note gimmick. You know, I yell and then put my arms out and then I tip things over and pull things down and smash people through tables. Roar! And like, how far can you go with that? You know, it could be a bellwether email that, you know, fans are going to start to want to see Braun just have good matches and not go with a stunt. So where are you on that, Andrew?
I mean, he seemed crazy over tonight, but I do see a point in that. I think he's somebody that they should pull back on a bit. He's not somebody that should be the focal point of the show every single week. I know when Big Show first came to WWF, Vince McMahon wanted him to be the new Andre the Giant, this major special attraction, but then he would wrestle every single week and he no longer felt special. So I feel that they need to pull back on Braun, where he could be not Brock Lesnar part-time, but certainly not asked on to carry every show that he's on.
Yeah, yep. Another email along these lines, Laramie Wells from Covington, Georgia. Hi, Wade. So the announcer's table spot to end the last man standing match was impressive. However, I had a problem with them showing Kane getting assistance. When they did this without moving the collapsed table, it clearly revealed that Kane didn't get hit at all. Like Buster Keaton in The Falling House, where the window prevents Buster from being injured. Kane clearly didn't have the platform land on him and was safe under the curtain. By revealing this, it ruined the moment. Kane did his best to hug the bottom of the platform, maybe to imply that his arm was caught, but it still failed to be believable. Then they have Braun come back out to be interviewed. Why not cut to Braun being stopped in the back for an interview? Then we'd still think Kane was trapped and could have had a stretcher job after the commercial. Showing the flat platform over and over did nothing to enforce the apparent destruction of Kane by Braun. Love the show, and I hope to go VIP once I replace my car. Laramie, priorities. Andrew, yeah, they did a good job in the optics in every way for this kind of thing, but there was that look. You know, I say he was smushed under the house like the Wicked Witch, but they did a better job, you know, 100 years ago or 80 years ago with The Wizard of Oz than they did with Kane, making it look that, you know, the curtain was draped over him. And I think they could have done a better job with that illusion, or at least protecting viewers from seeing what the illusion was.
Yeah, they should have definitely used a different angle. I mean, it was, there's so much, there were so many things involved there that it was kind of hard to tell what was supposed to hit him and what was supposed to, yeah, crush him. But yeah, it looked like, you know, one of the angles they had kind of pretty clearly showed that it was just some fabric over him.
Yes. All right. Up next, Stevie G. An interesting addition to Raw. Roman loses again. So are we supposed to think that he is worthy of a shot at the Universal Championship when he couldn't beat the IC champion 2 weeks in a row? I might be in the minority thinking like this, but why are we beating Finn Balor to get John Cena to qualify? Where do we go now with Balor going into Mania? So two good points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Roman losing, a tainted loss again, but still, you know, he's losing. Is this supposed to be sort of like, well, fans didn't like Cena because they felt he was protected and won all the time, so we'll have him lose and he'll put over Nakamura and fans will start to look at him as a team player, so they'll cheer him. Does that work? Is it? I don't think the problem with Roman is that fans think he wins, thinks he's booked to win too much. I think people boo Roman because he's picked to be the top guy, and they wanted other people to be the top guy, and they, you know, don't like Roman's personality. They don't bond with it. They don't connect with it. It's not the win-loss record. I don't think that really fixes anything significant.
Yeah, I think it is weird that years ago, John Cena, I think they went too strong with him, and he never, ever lost, never looked weak. But they need to find some sort of happy medium. Like back in the day in the Attitude Era, Steve Austin wouldn't get beaten by Jeff Jarrett 2 weeks in a row. You need somebody more credible to do that.
Yeah.
And I see what they're trying to go for, but you want to like make Roman look as strong as he can heading into Mania. So I think they're going too far in the direction of making him look weak right now.
And how about Finn Balor? With Balor going to Mania, having lost this match, what do you think?
I'm starting to just, I mean, with that big cheesy grin, that could be foreshadowing to a heel turn. So maybe that's where they're headed. He's going to snap, beat up John Cena, and he won't be the one that turns, and they'll like officially form the club again, and they'll just be a heel stable on Raw for a bit.
And then Kenneth Williams, Mobile, Alabama, says, after Miz won tonight, the announcer said something along the lines of, it doesn't matter how Miz won the match as long as he won. Shouldn't it matter how someone wins a match? I love the Miz and glad he won tonight, but I think it should matter how someone wins their match. What do you guys think? He's got a second part, but yeah, I never like when they say that. And they say it too much. There should be at least one strong, consistent voice saying, you know, what good is a winning record if everybody knows you cheated to get there? If everybody knows you're not better than your opponent, you're just better at cheating. You know, Coach said about the Revival, they know how to stretch the rules without getting disqualified. I can live with that. But, yeah, this idea that, you know, it just matters that you get a win. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's part of the announcing culture that I think needs to change.
I think so, too. Yeah, there's some random weirdness going on with the announcing in general, with Michael Cole just loving everything Elias does, even though all Elias does is crap all over every city that he's in. So I think this is just another example of that, of them not really fully thinking it through.
And he also wants to know, are you guys forecasting Roman Reigns wins the Elimination Chamber match? What would you give John Cena's chances of facing Lesnar at Mania in winning his 17th championship? I am voting for Reigns winning strongly, and I also think what we saw tonight was deliberate. I think they knew the crowd response. I think they booked the match to not be a show stealer where the crowd would be like, wow, we love it, and instead they would... I think Cena's been in front of enough crowds and there's enough smart people behind the scenes. They're telling a story with Cena. I think the announcing made me think that even more so. I could be wrong. I'm just saying, you know, what my leaning is here in that small sample size. I think they're telling a story with Cena. I think he'll lose at the Chamber. They'll tell a story there also at the Chamber, although they'll probably tell more between now and then with Cena. And that leads to whatever he's going to do at Mania. And it could be a heelish tinge against Undertaker. It could be something else. Don't know what else there is. And it could be a Finn Balor rematch, too. I mean, when we say what's up with Balor, maybe they turn this into something with either Balor turning heel or Cena, or Balor staying face and Cena kind of leaning heel. A lot of different things they can do with this. But I'm intrigued. I mean, I thought it was, you know, for a day after Rumble, it was an eventful enough show, and I think what was going on with Cena, especially telling the crowd afterwards, or, I mean, off-air, talking to them about their reaction, I think something's going on. I don't think Cena would just do that on his own.
Yeah, it does seem like there is something at play here, but I would very heavily think Roman Reigns is going to win Elimination Chamber. You know, Vince must be feeling encouraged right now by those crowd responses, because I mean, after 3 years or so, it's finally starting to work a little bit. So I don't think this is the time he would pull back by any means.
And we'll close with this. Andrew G wants to know, is there ever a way Roman stops wearing that ridiculous vest? I was so annoyed when he no-sold a couple of chops from Miz. Of course, that's not going to hurt a guy wearing a chest protector. I know there are bigger issues in Roman's presentation, but the vest is so ridiculous, it seems like such an easy thing to fix. I think that all the time. I mean, I'm used to it in a way, but it just seems weird that like there's all these people, you know, dressed as wrestlers, and you know, you have people like Bray Wyatt who are characters, but largely speaking, guys who are muscular don't wear like superhero outfits. And I don't know if they're concerned in the long run about how his physique will hold up as he ages, or they don't like the tattoos fitting the image they're trying to project. I mean, there could be all these reasons, or it could just be they think it looks cool. But I mean, it is one of the reasons I think guys in the crowd are resistant. It's not the main reason, but I think it's one of the reasons that people are resistant to embrace him.
Yeah, it makes me wonder why every single wrestler doesn't just do that to avoid yeah. chest shots. I mean, D'Lo Brown did that for a bit. As a heel, he wore a chest protector. So yeah, every single person should be doing that just to avoid chest chops. It's like I get used to him doing it, but yeah, whenever it's brought up and I think about it for a few seconds, it definitely annoys me.
Yes. Andrew, before we go, let's talk about how people can hear more of you talking different topics on the Thursday PW Torch Livecast. Talk about that show and also give a nice pitch to PW Podcast.
Sure. Yeah, so this is kind of exciting, I guess, for Impact. It's their newest new era, probably the 14th in the past 6 months or so. But Don Callis is coming in, and this is going to be their first show, so I'm actually pretty excited about it. They do have a lot to prove because this last era was so awful, but maybe they can finally find some sort of direction. So yeah, listen to Mike McMahon and I talk about it on the Torch Livecast right after Impact ends this week on Thursday and every week. So we run through the show. We do a post show as well where we usually just talk about WWE. Otherwise, yeah, you can catch me at pwpodcast.com. a website, which is pretty cool, I think. There's so many great wrestling podcasts out there. So many big names out there, Steve Austin and Bruce Pritchard. There's so many great shows, but it's impossible to listen to them all in 1 week. I know at my job, I basically can listen to maybe one or two in a normal week. And then during my evenings, I'm watching wrestling. So there's not enough time to know what happens on Steve Austin's show or Chris Jericho's show. So at PW Podcast, we do recaps of all these shows. So you can read them in a matter of minutes instead of taking, say, 5 hours for something to wrestle. And we throw in timestamps. So if you want to listen to a particular part, you can jump right to it. There's a link near the top. We give the kind of the top stories and some teasers up there that you can read through. But yeah, we cover a lot of great shows. Killing the Town is on board. Both of Jim Cornette shows. Something to Wrestle. Both of Steve Austin's, I believe, Jericho. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff out there. And we also throw up quick quotes. Jeff Rush, also the assistant editor there. Yeah, we take a lot of original quotes. He throws up a lot of new ones. Otherwise, yeah, just a lot of great stuff on there if you are a fan of pro wrestling podcasts.
Excellent. So pwpodcasts.com to read about podcasts that you might not have a chance to listen to or decide which ones to listen to. And then you can find the post-impact show. You can listen live on Thursday nights or download it later Thursday nights or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on and on. It's always there at pwtorchlivecast.com or just search PW Torch where you're listening to this show and subscribe to the whole PW Torch Livecast lineup. And that includes a post-NXT show the day before you guys do your Impact show, and that'll be a big addition too with their further discussion about NXT TakeOver. They did a VIP exclusive post-NXT roundtable. The whole crew got together, all four of the NXT team did, for a TakeOver VIP roundtable that VIP members got to listen to this past weekend. So tune in for their free version that always airs after NXT on Wednesday night also. And you can see the whole lineup of all seven shows at pwtorchlivecast.com, including Pat McNeil's new Tuesday afternoon show called Making the List, where every week he's got a list on a key topic. And last week it was Royal Rumble themed, and I don't know what today's show will be, but check in at pwtorchlivecast.com to listen live or download the show. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. Good conversation, and really appreciate, it was just a lot of kind of day after Royal Rumble. You never know what you're going to get after a big pay-per-view, but different wheels in motion, but certainly enough news. But you know what? I kind of did the sign-up, but are you pro or con on the women having an Elimination Chamber match?
I'll go pro. The Royal Rumble turned out pretty well, so I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's just like, you might as well go all the way and give them every match. Like,
right.
You know, they're just, are there any left? I don't even know. So, yeah. So that's good. All right, cool. Thanks, Andrew. Hey, don't forget to show support for this show if you haven't yet by going to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and giving us a 5-star rating. Just search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts and click that 5th star. And a big thanks to those who have already done so. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PW Torch. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PW Torch. And friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. Tomorrow on this very feed, the red brand of the Wade Keller lineup, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show will follow SmackDown. So listen live at blogtalkradio.com/Wade Keller Podcast. That's blogtalkradio.com/Wade Keller Podcast if you want to stream the show live. And you can also call our number to participate in the program. So if you want to talk with me and my co-host tomorrow after the show goes off the air, just call 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And push 1 on your touchtone phone when you call if you want to be part of the conversation. And if you are instead just wanting to listen in by calling, you can do that too. And you can hear the initial reaction that we have to the program live as we stream that tomorrow after SmackDown. Then that's the post-SmackDown show. Thursday's flagship this week is going to feature Todd Martin, PW Torch VIP audio analyst, and we'll talk about so much going on in the last week. It's just going to be crazy. We're going to expand beyond Raw SmackDown, look back at NXT TakeOver. We'll look at the Ronda Rousey news. Todd Martin is as good as anybody in analyzing this as closely as he follows both pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. He's a blogger for the LA Times, a columnist for Sure Dog, an in-demand MMA podcast analyst. And I record The Fix with him, The Fix with Todd Martin, every Wednesday night for VIP members. We have our VIP sale going on. If you have not taken advantage of it yet, do it while you can. It's the final days. Just go to pwtorch.com/goVIP. And that page will tell you all about what comes with a VIP membership. And it's tons of VIP exclusive podcasts and now ad-free versions of this program, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All four episodes during the week are now commercial-free with ads edited out, ads and plugs edited out, including this one. So you can show support for us, and in return, we'll give you a ton of exclusive podcasts that only VIP members can hear and ad-free editions of this 4 days a week, and all 7 weekly episodes of the PW Torch Livecast go ad-free and commercial-free. And by the way, you get ad-free access to our website for VIP members only, and VIP access to our library only for VIP members. 30-plus years of newsletters, over 1,500 back issues, thousands of podcasts dating back to the mid-2000s, and then retro radio shows from the early 90s through the Attitude Era. It's an incredible, incredible collection of insider information on professional wrestling, my contemporaneous reports and coverage on everything that's happened since the late 1980s, along with a whole team of contributors. Check it out, the full bullet point list and sign-up page at pwtorch.com/goVIP. And you want to enter coupon code RUMBLE18, that's RUMBLE18, to become a VIP member. That's RUMBLE18. Thanks, everybody, for finding us here on our new feed. Tomorrow on this feed, the Post-SmackDown Show, and then the Podcast One feed, the Blue Brand, will feature our Thursday flagship and Interview Friday. So just keep both feeds on your phone to get the early ones, the early week ones, and the late week ones. Keep both of them on your phone or wherever it is you listen to our shows. Thanks to Andrew Socek. Thanks to our caller, Michael from West Virginia. And thanks to our on-site correspondent, Matt from upstate New York, who attended 3 shows in a row and has a 4th one coming up, the SmackDown event, the final of 4. What a week. What a great week to be a pro wrestling fan in that area. Thank you for listening, and until next time, Wade Keller, signing off.